And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, our regular analysis of government and politics. I'm joined today by Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler. With less than a month before the June 9th primary election, the seven Republicans vying to become Maine's next governor are homing in on the predictable issues of spending and taxes. But Steve, there's also a notable dynamic in the contest involving the presumptive frontrunner, that's Bobby Charles, and the rest of the field. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, this is really fascinating, Ari, because Charles has drawn a lot of criticism from several of the other Republican candidates for pandering to voters and overpromising on what he would do if he's elected. And this goes back to last summer, well before any polls showed him leading in the race. So this isn't just about him being out front and the rest of the field trying to knock him down, which is sort of a normal thing that would happen in a race like this. In fact, some of the candidates were reluctant to say that they'd support him even if he becomes the nominee during a debate hosted by WGME and the Bangor Daily News. Let's give it a listen.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm running to be the nominee.
Jonathan?
I'm running to be the nominee. I feel good about a lot of the candidates on this stage, by the way. I do.
So the first voice you heard there was Garrett Mason, the former state senator, making his second run for governor. The second was Jonathan Bush. And what's notable is that Charles wasn't on the stage. He had skipped the debate.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Charles has also declined to appear in a couple other debates. What's that about?
Well, he's offered a bunch of reasons for not appearing in some of these. It's also possible that he just thinks that he's running away with the nomination and maybe doesn't think it's worth the risk to participate in a debate, although he did participate in one hosted by New Center Maine this week. Nonetheless, his absence has irked some of his rivals, including Mason, who took a shot at him during the WMTW debate a couple of weeks ago.
Do you guys wonder where Bobby is on all these things? Just curious. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's hard to know.
We can tell you he is not here with us this evening to answer those questions.
Wish he was here to answer some questions, but I think he might be in bed.
In addition to this, there's been a remarkable development in this race that involves Maine's ranked choice voting system, which allows voters to rank candidates in order of preference rather than just picking just one. Republicans have long opposed ranked choice voting, but what we're seeing now is some of the gubernatorial candidates are reluctantly embracing it this year.
And perhaps less surprisingly, we're also seeing that from some of the Democratic gubernatorial candidates, too, right?
That's right. You know, in that race, there's been a lot of polling that suggests that Nirav Shah, the former Maine CDC director, is leading that race. And so some of the other candidates, notably Hannah Pingree, Shenna Bellows, and Troy Jackson, have basically held a couple of events where they have encouraged their supporters to rank those other two candidates on their ballots, which would help them in a runoff if Shaw ends up being the leader.
And what are the ranked choice alliances that we're seeing in the GOP primary?
Yeah, I should say that not all of the candidates are doing this. Garrett Mason, for example, has such a deep disdain for ranked choice voting that he actually issued a statement recently saying he wasn't participating in any of this. And that's consistent with what we've seen in other Republican primaries. In fact, repealing the law is a priority embedded in the Maine Republican Party platform. And that's what makes these alliances now so remarkable. You know, during one debate, David Jones and Ben Midgley actually announced in their opening statements that they had formed an alliance. They basically encouraged their supporters to rank the other candidate number two on their ballot. And Jonathan Bush has anointed Robert Wessels as part of his campaign, even though Wessels isn't technically dropping out, which also implies that there's a ranked choice arrangement there as well.
And what's Bobby Charles saying about all this?
Well, he's not loving it. He put out a statement blasting his opponents for, quote, backroom deals and voter manipulation. He also instructed his supporters to rank him all across the ballot, which has the same effect as just ranking him number one and leaving the other options blank.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the themes we're seeing from the GOP candidates. One of them is about state spending and welfare fraud. That was actually a focus of an event with Vice President J.D. Vance this week. What is the vice president saying?
Well, this is part of a long campaign that's been taking place for, you know, more than a year now, targeting Medicaid fraud in particular. And then yesterday, Vice President Vance came to Bangor to basically, it was to serve two purposes. One was to talk about Medicaid fraud and it's what he says is a festering issue in Maine, and tried to make comparisons to between Maine and Minnesota. The event also doubled as basically a rally for our former Governor Paul LePage, who's running for Congress in Maine's 2nd Congressional District. That event was interesting because it sort of ties in to some of the Republican gubernatorial candidates, you know, making these claims that, you know, welfare fraud is, you know, pervasive in Maine, and that that's a lot of that has to do with Democrats running state government. And so, you know, they're running as people who will come in if elected and clean all that up.
And Steve, some of the candidates are also talking about this fraud issue in the context of cutting taxes. So what's the connection that they're trying to make there?
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of the candidates have made spending and tax cuts a centerpiece of their message, which isn't surprising. You know, Republicans are always talking about cutting taxes. And in Maine, they really want to slash the income tax, or in some cases, zero it out entirely. The problem is that income taxes make up nearly half of the state's revenues. So in order to satisfy Maine's constitutional requirement for a balanced budget, you have to cut spending if you're going to cut taxes. Otherwise, the state can't pay its bills. So some of the candidates are saying that cleaning up welfare fraud is basically a pathway to help achieve that goal.
And how realistic is that?
Well, there's probably not enough fraud to make a significant dent in the income tax on its own. In fact, there's probably not enough straight spending cuts to make up for the loss of income tax revenue without basically decimating state services. And some of the candidates acknowledge this, including Garrett Mason, Ben Midgley, and David Jones. But Bobby Charles is vowing to eliminate the state income tax in just 4 years. Owen McCarthy says that it can be done in double that time, but it's worth noting here that between 2011 and 2013, Republicans had full control of state government, and they struggled to lower the income tax by just over 1%. And that was with, you know, a tax-cutting evangelist, Paul LePage, in the governor's office. And I'll just add, too, here, Ari, that, you know, it's not just cutting the state income tax that's on the list of priorities for these candidates. It's also, in some cases, eliminating property taxes, which is a very difficult thing to do because municipalities are very reliant on that funding. However, it's a ripe issue because property taxes across the state are soaring, and it's a big problem for folks that are low income or on fixed incomes, mainly seniors, you know, who want to stay in their homes as for as long as they can, but are seeing their property tax bills rise, you know, through the roof. And I should just add, too, that it's not just Republicans that are talking about this issue. Democrats have also made lowering property taxes, you know, a part of their platform. So that just speaks to how pervasive that this problem is for a lot of taxpayers in the state.
And that was Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler. You can read even more about this topic and others by going to mainepublic.org/pulse, where you can also subscribe to receive the Political Pulse newsletter. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.